it's getting going, yeah.
We have to find out why they're taking so long to go up. A few people have told me that they listen. I didn't even know. I got a message from somebody yesterday. He says, well, he says, well, you're in America. He learned as a bocha many years ago. And he's, yeah, so, okay. Okay, just want to make one thing clear here. Somebody mentioned something to me, and I suddenly realized, well, I haven't made this clear. What we're learning here is principles. What we're learning here is what the world calls hashkofa. I don't know what that word means. Well, we're learning here the basic principles of particular subjects. The fact that you understand the principles doesn't mean that you are now living with those principles, that they're internalized and that you mishulav, that you're in sync with them. You know what I'm saying? Give you an example. Let's say you want to become a brain surgeon. Be a brain surgeon. Why anybody would want to be a brain surgeon? I don't know, but you want to be a brain surgeon. So you go off and you learn. And they teach all the principles. They teach you how the neurons and the electrons and the chemicals and everything. They teach you all the first principles. Yeah, I can wake up in the middle of the night, you can answer all the questions about how the brain works. You would do brain surgery now? No, because first you have to learn how to apply those principles into a real situation. That's with any subject. You first have to learn the principles, and then you go and you practice, you work with them. Someone who's a coach, he coaches athletes. As he understands all the principles involved. He understands the way the body works, he understands the nutrition, he understands aerodynamics. Yeah, that doesn't mean he knows how to run. Okay, I'm talking about a theoretical coach. So that's the vault. We're learning principles here. Knowing these principles is not going to change you that much. It'll change your understanding of reality. It'll change your understanding. It'll make you ask the right questions. But at the end of the day, you have to go into the gym, and you have to go into the track, and you have to go into the operating theater, and you have to practice. You have to have the principles. We start off with the wrong principles, and we go practice, and you're practicing wrong because you don't have the principles here. The person has to have the principles. We learned yesterday all about the kids, problem children, let's call them whatever, not problems, whatever, these difficult, hard kids, whatever. So now you go home and it's all fine. Everything's fine now. Now you're chilled. You're besimcha and you're happy. And there's this kid, Rahman Lassango, for Derek, and you're fine with it because it's with you and it's all Hashem. You're not, you're beating yourself to death the way you were yesterday. Nothing's changed. What changed? What's changed is that I understand the playing field. I have the principles. And now, over the next 300 years or whatever, I'm going to apply them. But it doesn't mean that suddenly things are going to change. Something's changed already. The system is different. You understand the situation better today than you did yesterday. It's a completely different world you live in. That's for sure. The most complex system, if you change one small part, it's a new system. You can't deny that. But the expectation that reading this once or twice is now suddenly everything's going to click and fit into place. That, you know, this couple, I keep going back to the couple with the swimming pool. When they finished with Tauber's meeting with him, I'm sure that they still need a therapy. You know, I'm just saying that in Achinami, they understand the truth and they makabel the truth. They don't deny the truth. They makabel the truth 100%. They know al pi halacha, they're not responsible. It wasn't their fault. It was going to happen anyway. Okay, but I'm sure a few years later, you would speak to them, they would still be a little bit traumatized. Ze amitziyut. Takes practice, takes a lot of hard work. Nasevanishma maybe is an aspect of that. We have to do what we have to do, but yeah, you first have to understand the principles. If you don't get back to basics, you'll never understand anything. You'll never be able to do anything. The greater the person is, you'll notice, the more connected to the basics is. The application of those basics can be sometimes complicated, but he's always going back to basics and saying, okay, how does this work?
The principle is
That's one aspect of it. That's one aspect. But then there's also that's the application of the principles. Yeah. If you don't understand the principles, you can't start. You have to understand the principles, then apply them to different situations. That's why the same principles can look very different in different situations. That's why God of Israel can answer the same question from two similar people and come up with completely different answers. And he's working according to the same principles. If you don't know the principles, then you lost. Okay, I just wanted to make that clear because it came out yesterday as a local kach. it wasn't so baruch to people, maybe to other people, I don't know. Okay. So we're Resh Pei Aleph, I believe. Yeah. Yeah. Really lost. I'm in Resh Pei Aleph. Kabbalah says you have a mitzvah tmidis. Is that where we are, Rav Shmuel, or are we on Resh Ein Tes? Oh, no, 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 we're on Resh Ein Tes. Lichas. Resh Ein Tes, Hayesurim, Hinam Matana, the Matana Loma Vakshi. The question we asked, why is it that if Yusurim are so precious and so beloved and have such wonderful consequences that you can't get anywhere else, and there's things you can achieve through Yusurim, you can't even achieve through Torah and Mitzvahs, as why don't we daven for them? Why is it also to ask for them? And second, why do we ask not to get them? Why would somebody ask not to get something that they think? So as I mentioned, the Pele Yoyt says one approach, he has a slightly different approach. Hashem puts in front of us two pathways, two valid pathways, by the way. It's not that one's a path and the other one's not a path. That's not a choice. I'm giving you something and a nothing, choose the something. That's not a choice. I'm giving you two somethings and I'm asking you to choose this something. Hashem puts in front of us Chaim u'mavos. And he says, "Ubachate b'chaim." Kach omar lanu Hashem. Ritzayni hu shetitbcho b'chaim. It's my desire that you should choose the life path. Tasek v'dishtadol b'tikun en yonecha hagashmi v'ruchon. Go about and make yishtadlus to rectify and deal with in the correct way all your physical and spiritual matters. Do whatever you can and try and keep all the mitzvahs of the Torah. That's what he asks us. That's b'chata b'chaim. Doesn't mean now do everything. It means go about slowly, studying to do whatever you can, whatever you're supposed to do, whatever you're obligated to do in each particular moment. Lumazo says, Derech ha-mavis ve-yisurim en chebocho. Don't choose the derech of mavis and yisurim. That path Hashem will choose for us if and when it's necessary. That's meant to you as a gift. You don't choose that path, you choose the life path. What about the other path? That's Hashem's cheshbonos. We'll see it's Hashem when we get to the last chapter. You'll see Yoteh Echze Ovet. Fascinating. Let's give it over to Hashem's Bechira. That's got nothing to do with you anymore. It's a gift. That's practically a gift. You don't work for a gift. A gift means you didn't work for it. That's why it's a gift. It's a material. You get it for nothing. Learn a bit of Yerushalmi. Anybody does Daf Yomi might be happy to be finished with Pashas with Shkolim. Daf Yomi. Come out of Eruvin, you learn a bit of Psochim, and then suddenly you get hit with Shkolim, and it's a different language. And that's, wow. We're going back into the Rishalmi. It says, Ubachata b'chaim zeh omnus. What does that mean? Umuskal Rishon Adova Tumur b'yaisa. Hainu mevinim ki azoros ha-toyle l'bichor b'chaim v'shmos yi lasek b'toyle l'kpalel l'kai mitzvahs ulam umanut. Ma'an the kashmaya. What's it got to do with us? Umanut means, how does he translate umanut sham? In the thing that's headed to b'chata b'chaim is umanus. What how does it translate?
Profession.
Profession. It's an expertise. I like to use expertise, not a profession. It means you're really a professional. Isaac Stern was an uman in violin. He wasn't just an excellent violinist. He wasn't just a great violinist. Yeah, uman. Shati, no, there's a whole shiur on this. This is a fantastic subject. Umanus is loshen imuna. It's loshen aim. It's loshen ms. It's all sugi in that word. Our job is to be, it's also the English word human, just as an interesting side. What does it mean to be human? To know that you come from something, you come me something. Imuna means I come me something. When a child says mummy, and you know, in every language in the world, there's a mem somewhere in mother.
Yeah.
An amazing thing. How did they work it out? How did the Indians and the Chinese and we all work out that somehow in the word mother there has to be the word m? Amazing, no? Because m means I come from something. What's the Loshon Mem in Hebrew? Ani mi Beit Shemesh. I'm from Beit Shemesh. Imuna means I'm from something. I'm not in Getya. I come from somewhere. Shatin Umanus. What's an Umanus? Umanus is something you do without das. A typist. Everyone here can type, right? You see me type? Because somebody told me it's called the hunt and peck method. I don't know that, but it mamash describes it well. I don't know how you type, but I type like this. I look for the letter and then I cluck. Look for the letter and then I cluck. That's called hunt and peck.
Doesn't everybody do that?
No. Some people, better tell me, yeah, it's unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. I've never seen anything like that. To watch it fast, yeah, because you lawyers.
Without even looking to do it.
When I practiced as a lawyer, I didn't have a typewriter or any keyboard anywhere near me. I had a dictation machine and I dictated the secretary. Oh. When they told me you have to type as well, they came with computers. I said, I'm out of here. I'm going to go learn Torah. Lobbish really. Yeah. So, but you get people that can type, they're not even looking what they're doing. Drive. When you drive today, you're driving with DAF? No, it's all automatic. When you first learned how to drive, oh, knuckles on the wheel. Someone starts talking, you already shut, can't concentrate. Today, you can do 15 things while you're driving.
No,
I want to say Israel's not a good example, but generally speaking, you drive today automatically. You drive automatically, you don't think that's an ominous. Ominous means you do something without das. It's so much part of you to become one with you. That's what imun is supposed to be. Our avoiding the tochen and imun is to become an uman, become a professional. There's the Chofetz Chaim used to go off into the forests and practice betochen. I don't know what that means. To sit there and work on his betochen. Chofetz Chaim needs to work on betochen. Isaac Stern used to practice 8 hours a day. 8 hours a day. What is he practicing? There's no one better than him. No one better than him. So I mentioned that before once. He said on the day that he doesn't practice, he knows the difference. On the second day that he doesn't practice, his violin knows the difference. And on the third day he doesn't practice, the audience already knows the difference. Because when you're an woman, there's no end to how far you can go. That's MS. MS goes from Aleph through the Mem to Tav. That's MS. Imuna is you're somewhere on that range. You're from the Aleph to the Mem, but you haven't got to the Tav yet. It's not MS yet. MS v'imuna, you haven't got to MS yet. You're always going to be one step short of MS because MS is infinite. MS is Hashem. Hashem Siman is MS. So when you're working on being an woman, there's always more. You can always do more. That's the definition of an adult as well, by the way. That's why we're off the subject. What's an adult? An adult is somebody that can do something that a child can't. And he can do it in an ever-increasing way. Never heard of that one before, have you? Oh, what is it?
Children there.
Huh?
Children.
If a child can do this, then it has nothing to do with adulthood. We do lots of things that children can do. That has nothing to do with being an adult. An adult is somebody that can do something that a child can't do, but he can do it in an ever-increasing amount. Take a simple example. Stocker, being benevolent. I'm not talking about giving stocker, I'm talking about being benevolent. Caring about other people and putting other people in front of yourself, a child can't do that. Even if you're a locha, a child can't do that. A child can't be makne. Why shouldn't you give your child on the first day of sukkahs your lulav to use? Because he can never give it back to you because a child can't be makne. Child can't give. You find children sometimes he'll share his chocolate with you or whatever. But it's cute. He's getting the response he wants. He's getting the reaction he wants. But he's not doing it out of benevolence. Child can't do benevolence. So they get to a certain age before the mitzvah, they start actually getting in touch with us a little bit. Okay. But in general, they can't. So when you're being benevolent, you're doing something that a child can't do. And how benevolent can you be? Ever ending. We'll never get to the end of it. It's infinite. Until you're benevolent like Hashem's benevolent, then you haven't got to MS yet. And you'll never get there. You're always on the journey. That's why it's called an umanus. An umanus is from Loshon Uman, not from MS. You'll never get there. Isaac Stern's practicing 8 hours a day. The Chofetz Chaim's in the forest practicing betochen. What do you need breakfast betochen for? There's something wrong with the Chofetz Chaim's betochen? No. Even Rabbi Akiva. Even Rabbi Akiva had to learn from Nachum Ish Gamzu. Even Rabbi Akiva had to learn from Nachum Ish Gamzu. How did Rabbi Akiva say, Kol Chaya Tzeati, Matai, Gil, Vakamenti? He learned that from Nachum Ish Gamzu. Even Rabbi Akiva had to work and work his whole life until right at the end he touched the Emet. That's an ominous. Just while he's mentioning it, I thought we'll touch it. It's a myriad subject. Frank Faxman said that's where the word human may come from. Human means I'm working to become more and more of a Bali Muna. That's what it means to be human. So if you never learn how to play the violin or learn how to tap, it's not the end of the world. But if you don't learn Imuna, you're not a human. You're not a Ben Adam. You haven't started the subject yet. What else are we here for? I need me a farm from somewhere. That's men. Okay, that's clear. Fine, now we can go back to what we were talking about. I don't know what that has to do with anything about. It's impressive. Sounds good, yeah? I didn't make that up, by the way. That's mainly, all I heard that mainly from Rabbi Frank Hux. He's got a Moedika series on Betochen that I heard many years ago. That's where he built the Surya there. And by the way, you know yourself when you're in the presence of an woman, you know that. When you're with a professional, there's something there, you know that. You got a doctor, right? And you see the guy bumbling around, whatever. Then they send you to whatever, some professor, whatever, and he's really good. He knows his business, yeah? You feel that you're in the presence of something. You magish, I don't know what it is, but you magish, wow. It's a joy to watch somebody who knows what he's doing. You know, you watch somebody who knows how to play music properly, or somebody who's an artist who really knows his job. It's a pleasure to watch. It's a pleasure to be around there. Somebody's in Torah. You speak to somebody who really knows what he's talking about. You learn tomorrow or somebody really knows his business. I know. That's humanness. That's professionalism. I'll just tell you one more thing. Just why, because once we are evolving. There's one thing a person's born with automatically that he does in an humanness without having das, without having practice, without having know how to do that. Very close. A little bit better. Eating. Yeah, breathing, okay. Yeah. Suckling. A baby knows how to suckle immediately, and it's a very complex process. Suckling from a mother is not a simple process. There's a lot of different things that have to take place for that child to know how to suckle. And yet he knows how to do it as he's born. That's a yinoi. He's being yoinek from his mother. That's tinuk. That's where the word tinuk comes from. Because he's yoinek. That's who we are. We yoinek. We suckle from Hashem, so to speak. Imuna, they say, is like a baby with his mother. He's completely calm and tranquil. He's yoinek from his mother. Someone is yoinek from Hashem. He's a tinok, so that's the ultimate umanus you can achieve. The ultimate umanus, and it comes automatically, is to be yoinek from Hashem. Okay. I'll be dvarim elu, not what I said, but I'll be the dvarim we said over here about the b'chad to b'chaim. We saw the Yerushalmi that says b'chad b'chaim ze umanus. That's a profession. What are we talking about? What are we talking about? What are you talking about? B'chad b'chaim means to learn, to daven, to give stocker, to not make a noise in the late night when your neighbor's sleeping. That's an umanus. Ma umanus. What does a profession have to do with keeping her in midst? It's coming to tell us a person shouldn't say like this. Listen, we learned here many times that Yisurim is ma'od, ma'od chaviv. Yisurim is ma'od precious. We've mamash convinced ourselves now. We've been brainwashed and we've convinced ourselves and we know 100% Yisurim are gavaldik. Who's gonna mevate on zo? Im kainam chebo batzmi. What's all I want? I'm not stupid. I'm a good businessman. Yisurim is the way to go. That's where the profit lies. That's where the real business is. And you wrote, say Yisurim. I'll go choose them. And I'll go live a life of terrible tzar. And I'll go live a real black, dark, worldly life. Because that's the gavaldik. That's where all the reward is. The good business. That's not the right. It's not the derech ha'teira. Ne'emar b'chad b'chaim. Asuk b'panos v'davka misham tevakesh es Hashem Elokecha. Go work, go make panos, live a normal life. need what you need. But I wouldn't say become a meshuggah and ostentatious and live immersed in the gashmias. No, live a normal life. Rav Miller mentions this in Chovas HaLevavos. I wanted to bring it last night, you know, on the subject we were talking about. How do you know what's normal? How do you know where the minimums are? How do you know what the basics are? This is to live a normal life. You have to have a house. You have to have nice furniture. You have to dress properly. You know, whatever that means. But you might think, why? You've just spent months telling me how unbelievably wonderful you're serving. So let's get a bit of your serving going here.
What?
Huh?
You get plenty when you work.
Working, yeah. Okay. But you didn't choose them. You decided to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do. And then Hashem, in those places, the Yisurim. It's not the work, the Mod Chashuv, what you just raised. It's not the work that's causing the Yisurim. No, it's Hashem. Yeah. Some customers don't cause Yisurim. Some customers are actually quite pleasant. Other customers are a headache. Now, why is he a headache and he's nice? Because Hashem decided biduk how much Yisurim you have to get and why and from who and where. The Yisurim come from Hashem. They're not because you're in business, you have Yisurim. If you would close the business, Hashem would find other ways to give you the Yisurim. You're going to run away from Hashem? Didn't work for Yaakov Avinu. He tried to run away from Yisurim. What happened? Hashem threw din at him. Yoina, beautiful example. Okay, he was Borech for other reasons. He wasn't trying to get away from the Suri. He was trying to get away from the Chilul Hashem that he was being asked to create. Whatever. Okay. The Yisuri, whatever it is that you're dealing with, is not because of the customer or Mizrad HaPnim or the government official or the next door neighbor. They are kol mechushvan from Hashem. The metuchnan, it's planned and organized, bidyuk for what you need. Sure. It doesn't mean, as I told my bank manager once, that he's not going to that special place up there that they have for bank managers. I'm not going to pot him at all. I told him there's a special place where bank managers go. People have bank managers today. You have an app, and on the app, there's some sort of virtual person who doesn't know. Bank managers, who knows what a bank is, who uses banks. Anyway. Okay. There used to be a time where a bank manager was somebody who knew about finance and you knew that you trusted you, go to them, ask them for advice. Bank managers today know nothing. What does a bank manager know today? He's a pakid, he's a clerk, whatever. Okay. Fine, there's more chashuv to know. Did you surim in learning Torah as well? You're bashing your head, or you've got problems with the chavrusa. Hashem will wire into the system the yisurim that are necessary based on his infinite cheshboinus about what's best for you to get to Gan Eden. But you're not allowed to look for them, you're not allowed to ask for them, you're not allowed to bring them upon yourself. We still don't know why not. Hashem says, "Ubachata b'chaim," but why? Why can't I be b'chata the other way?
Why does Mavit mean the
not pleasant part, the part that's full with Suri, the klala, it says brocho klala. There's a double loss in there. It says, so it's the part that's full with brocho and the part that's lacking in brocho. Brocho doesn't mean blessing. So brocho means rafchas, means more. You fly first class. In first class, Hashem wants to get the waitress to spill hot coffee on you, whatever he'll work for that. You don't fly economy class. You choose to fly first class. You go the Derech Hayosha. If Hashem wants to throw you off the plane and put you in a bus, you will. That's his business. But you don't ask for that. You book a first class. Fine. You go find Hashem in your day-to-day existence of leading a normal life. You will be a holy people to me, Hashem says. Kodesh. Hashem wants us to be what? Anshei Kodesh, not Malachim. He wants to be people. Malachim is not short of. If he wants more, you'll make a few more. That's not why we came down here to be Malachim. Anoshim amizaskim binyon ha'olam v'yachadim zois v'katshim oisei. He wants us to deal in the world. Even if you're learning the whole day, you still have to deal with the world. You have to get married. You have to go on a bus. You have to be involved in the world. I'm not talking about learning or working. That's not the nosei. No, no, therefore. You have to be oisek in the world. Hashem wants us to take this world and makadosh it. How can you do that if you ignore this world? What Avraham Avinu's chiddush was is that this world and the next world are somehow connected. That means our job is to take the physical world and elevate it. How can you do that if you're cutting yourself off from the physical world? We mechaber the two worlds together. We're in a neshama and a guf. A malach is just a neshama. A cow is just a guf. We are something unique. We're in a neshama and a guf. Those two worlds have to somehow in me reconcile themselves with each other. That's where Hashem wants me functioning. He wants me in the physical world. Down here, dafka. You go look, you go through, you open up shalas and tshuva, you know, big poiskim had to deal with, big shalas or whatever. Some of them are very down to earth, nitty gritty base question. Most of the shalas tshuvas aren't angelic based questions. You know, you open up Rav Moshe Feinstein Svarim, fantastic. Just to see what was going on in America a few years ago. More than a few years ago. Shalas on the ground. Shana is hard, difficult, physical, yeah, worldly shana. How do you sync that with Torah? How do you apply Torah principles to some of the, wow, shana, whoa, heavy stuff, terrible stuff. Poiskim are not sitting there dealing with Yotrov Zilberstein, he's gewaldic, you know. There's this shana and this shana, and it's all dealing with mamash, hardcore physical stuff. So what's the Torah got to deal with it? Why is that the purview of the Torah? That's exactly what it is. So those two worlds meet. That's where we live. Nema v'anshei kodesh tuli. You have to be human and then be kodesh. Medach, on the other hand, aleinu radat, kashia kodesh bohu, at the end of this, maybe aleinu yisurim, zuma tana niflo. When Hashem does give you yisurim, that's an unbelievable gift. That draws us closer to Hashem without any limitation. We get closer and closer to the one who created the universe. We'll see this expanded more practical. We'll see the nuts and bolts of it in a couple of days, weeks. I don't know. We're nearly there. We have one more perek to do. We've got two more pages and then we actually finished. The last perek is just a... We'll see when we finish. A few weeks ago, people started already asking, what are we going to learn when we finish?